Well, my name is Dr. Julie Gleason-Comstock. I'm also a health educator, but have a role as a researcher in the School of Medicine, and I would like to present the development of a healthy eating kiosk-based feasibility study in a public health primary care clinic. I would also encourage individuals who are watching this to look at relevant handouts that are available through the APHA website and to complete evaluations, which help us all as we present. My study is a partnership that took place in Detroit. We have a research team that includes myself and the School of Nursing, the Department of Nutrition and Food Sciences. We have no disclosures. This research could not have been done without the presence of what we call research-mentored students. A number of them, three, were from the Department of Family Medicine and Public Health Sciences. Two were from the School of Nursing. And one was in the Honors Program for Nutrition and Biology. And this project, which is actually a feasibility study, funded through the Cardiovascular Research Institute, could not have been done without the students. And we have one MD-MPH student who is participating as a research-mentored individual. The good people at the City of Detroit Department of Health and Wellness Promotion have a primary care clinic where this research was conducted. And the research was approved not only by the Wayne State University Human Investigation Committee, but by the City of Detroit Research Committee. A major partner, and this, I believe, addresses the innovation of this intervention, was American Telecare and LifeView, which is a telehealth company that partnered with us for a fee. We paid for their services, but actually provided us with the kiosk, and we worked closely with them on the development of the curriculum. So the learning objectives for this presentation are to describe the telehealth education study, and then to assess the feasibility of integration of this work into a primary care clinic. I will not be reporting results. This is reporting the development, which actually should have taken about a year, but we did in 3 months. Of course, all good public health people are aware of the impact of cardiovascular disease, heart disease and stroke, as noted by a previous presenter. The death rates for cardiovascular disease are substantially higher among African-American individuals, as is the risk of having a stroke. Detroit is about 90% African-American. We know that prevention saves lives and that healthy lifestyles and lifestyle modification can save lives as well. Preventing and controlling blood pressure is also a significant component of cardiovascular health. So we know that many individuals in the United States have high blood pressure, as do a number with cholesterol. Most do not have these conditions under control. The Affordable Care Act and the National Prevention Council have given new guidance and opportunities for working with heart health, as has the presence of health information technology. And we consider a kiosk part of health information technology, and that as with your telemedicine, this is connected to a server that has primary care and health information. I should say that the industry, the telehealth and the telemedicine industry, is very interested in the Affordable Care Act, not just because of medical records, but because of the potential as well for lifestyle modification. So the American Telemedicine Organization has made it very clear that they are interested in being part of these initiatives. So again, telehealth is basically considered within our kiosk parameters, and telemedicine and telehealth also are the applications of distance education and consumer outreach. So our premise was to use a kiosk as consumer health information technology. There is research that shows that kiosks have been used with persons who are underserved medically, but there is also direction to increase the use of telehealth and telemedicine for underserved populations, and to look to see if kiosks can become part of the patient flow within primary care. Our study then was funded through the Cardiovascular Research Institute at the School of Medicine, and we began working with American Telecare, which is a telehealth company that basically does presentations at national conferences, was reviewed by one of our investigators, and we concluded that they would be willing to at least begin discussing with us a kiosk research study at an affordable cost. Indeed, that relationship did evolve, and they provided us with web-based orientations and training for a multi-user station and peripherals and ongoing operational support. The technology that we used was a provider station with administrator login to access information, and then we had our multi-user station for multiple encounters, and these encounters were individuals that were coming into the primary care clinic in Detroit. It was an interactive touch screen, which folks liked, particularly as you see demographics, a number of them have advanced beyond the age of 50, and the larger print was comfortable for them. They liked the touch screen. They felt safe with a password-protected login. They felt that that was security. They were able to control that. There were also peripherals which allowed them to self-monitor weight and blood pressure. And then a major part of this project was the health education modules that we put together. Our research design was a convenient sample. We recruited from the waiting room of the primary care clinic. Participants were given the opportunity to log in over 6 weeks. We randomized them into two groups, a nutrition group and a general health group. The nutrition group received content that was primarily diabetes education information from the telehealth curricula, and they monitored their weight through the kiosk. The general health group, our attention control group, received primarily a hypertension curriculum, and they monitored their blood pressure through the kiosk. We, in addition to the kiosk, with our research students, did baseline and demographic surveys, and we also separately measured blood pressure and weight. A criteria for participation in the study was a BMI of 25 or greater. And as you can see, our participants easily met those criteria. And good research, and this needs to be understood as a feasibility study. It's small, did not have a large amount of funding. It had funding appropriate for a feasibility study, but very few people that stated an interest in our recruitment of 1 month or so were turned away, which also tells you a little bit about the population in the clinic. Average age about 50 years old, primarily African American and primarily female. About equally divided between an education of high school or less or some trade or college. So we had a lot of folks high school, GED or less, and then half that had maybe a little bit of trade and so on. Remember, this is Detroit, okay? And if we have a population of folks that's 50 years or older and who are uninsured or underinsured, many of these might have worked in the industry, in the auto industry. They might have worked in positions where they didn't have health insurance after they retired or were laid off. Okay, so that's why I think you might see a little bit more trade or some college than you would in this population. But look at the annual income. About half had annual household income of $10,000 or less, and the other half between $10,000 and $35,000. Average income, average household size, I think, was about two people. But it varied from one to five, and of course we had some of the grandmothers that had grandkids, etc. When we asked them about internet use, about three-quarters had used the internet in the past 2 months, and of those, about two-thirds at home. But folks go to libraries. They don't go to Starbucks a whole lot, but they do go to places where there's McDonald's, maybe, some access. Clinic frequency. Okay, in a convenience sample for this clinic, one of the reasons that we talked to the good people in primary care about the use of this kiosk was that folks spent a lot of time waiting in the clinic. Okay. How often did they self-report? This is all self-reported. This was completely separate from clinic records, okay? How often did they self-report coming in? Well, about every 2-3 months. Why might they come in every 2-3 months? Well, you might need to get your meds, okay? Or you might need to come back for some measuring, etc. How much time did they spend waiting in the clinic? 1 to 2 hours? Close to half. Less than an hour, and so on. Now, in fairness, this is a clinic where people work very hard, and of course, most people, and again, this is self-report data, we were not looking at electronic records, had multiple chronic conditions. They may have had infectious conditions as well, but there's also an STI clinic there. And much of that waiting time was kind of rotating. You come in, you go through admittance, and then you might go down to the pharmacy to pick up your script. And then you'd come back up and you'd have a consult perhaps with a nurse. And if you needed to see the doctor, you might go back out to the waiting room. So we didn't necessarily parse this out as to whether or not you were sitting in the same place. What happened is that there were dynamics there where folks could be there a long time, but they were often doing multiple things. And the Detroit Health Department was really a comprehensive center for, there's pharmacy there, there's an STI clinic, there's WIC there, you know, you might drop off your daughter, go pick her up and come back, you know, get the baby, so on. So the 1 to 2 hours could be spent doing a variety of things. We did the intervention after about 6 months of preparation, in about 3 months. It was a pre and a post. People were enrolled at 1 month. They had up to 6 sessions on the kiosk, and then we did a follow-up at 3 months. So from that, because we did have an average of about 3 kiosk visits from individuals, even though this did not necessarily parallel the time that they came to the primary care clinic, that this technology was feasible in a primary care clinic. I'll talk a little bit about the fact that the provider said we did not interrupt clinic flow, and that was for a couple of reasons. One of them being that the intervention actually on the kiosk where people logged in was 5 to 10 minutes. So if we were flexible and folks came in and then they went down to get their script and then they came back up and then they went to pick up their daughter at the WIC clinic, they could actually fit this in 5 to 10 minutes. One of the things that I haven't talked a great deal about is the fact that we worked very hard to make sure that the curriculum that we got from American Telecom, they were flexible with us in terms of allowing us to take modules and put them in a sequence, was at a readability level of 5th grade to 9th grade, okay? And that the entire intervention was flexible and repetitive, okay? So we concluded that we could take what was actually a system, not nearly as sophisticated as the previous presenters, but a telehealth system that had some flexibility in terms of health education modules, monitoring that you could do with the peripherals, and make that applicable in a primary care clinic. As I noted, the short, flexible kiosk systems did not interrupt patient visits, and as you know, nurses rule primary care clinics. And we did a debriefing with those individuals, those good people, and physician and some of the admissions people, and they would have told us, not only during the intervention, but at the time that we sat down with them, had it not been appropriate had they felt that it diminished the clinic flow. And just the fact that even though less than half of the individuals had their own car, okay, many shared rides, public transportation when it was available, most did not really live within walking distance, but these individuals returned for multiple visits. What do we plan to do? And I will say that we had both satisfaction and health education and clinical results that were statistically significant, which lead us to the fact that we feel that as we begin to analyze these results and vet them and publish them, that it is realistic to consider going from a primary care clinic environment, which was rather secure and rather convenient, to a health systems environment. Kiosks can be in a variety of federally qualified health centers, for example, that have connections to each other. Not just health systems, but health systems in entities such as Detroit that are tied to faith-based organizations. There's often partnerships, whether it has to do with the church and some of the nurses that are associated with them, or the fact that these religious organizations feel a commitment to their parishioners to encourage them for preventive care and lifestyle modification. So there are good relationships there. One of the things that we realized that is an opportunity, really, is to make a transition from the training of our research mentor students to a community health worker approach. Most of the individuals that go through undergraduate work at Wayne State University, and many of those that are in the graduate programs and the professional health programs at Wayne are from the area. So you have this kind of combination of folks who have come up through the communities and who are getting a post-secondary education or a professional education, and that often meshes with people that then come into Detroit to participate in the university. But it is a unique opportunity to take those individuals, particularly those who have been residents of Detroit and Greater Detroit for some time, and put them in a research and educational environment, and our Department of Family Medicine, Public Health Sciences is interested in this concept of training community health workers that then can also progress through the educational system. I found it interesting at a presentation yesterday about the use of an iPhone in primary care clinics to encourage people around lifestyle modification. And as we talk to individuals in health systems in the greater Detroit area, one of their first questions is, why are you so stationary? You know, people have to come to the kiosk. Why don't you expand this research, since you show that you have a health education curriculum and weight monitoring and blood pressure monitoring and all of these good things? Why don't you make it more portable? So we've talked about the possibility of having multiple kiosks, but we've also talked to the American Telecare Corporation about whether or not they actually have some of these available over a website. And, of course, it would have to be secure and monitored. And indeed, they do. So that's another possibility. Tablets and smartphones are excellent ways for people to have personalized health education goals. It's a little bit more difficult to do monitoring around blood pressure and weight, and we think that that has probably been a large part of the incentive of this, that this is something very tangible, that people feel they are not only becoming educated about better cardiovascular health, but they're doing some self-monitoring, and they can see trends in that. That is my presentation. Thank you. Are there questions at this point? And as have many of us, these presentations are on the APHA website, so they can be reviewed. Okay, thank you.